Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Welcome to Light of the World Christian Tabernacle Noonday Bible Study. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. What a blessing, what an honor to be in the presence of God and His people. Amen. We welcome you to this segment of our Noonday Bible Study. On behalf of our co-founder, our apostle, Bishop Ruth W. Smith, thank God for her and thank God for you, and especially you. Amen. We are studying in the book of Romans, the 6th chapter, and we are at the 19th verse. Hallelujah. And so we thank God today for another opportunity just to get into His Word and get out of it what He wants us to. Amen, because these are some trying times in this world. We can see that the signs of the time is everywhere. Amen. He says marriage, giving in marriage and killing and drinking and all these other stuff that's going on, we can see it so evident today. But we thank God that we have hope beyond this life. Hallelujah. And we're not confined to what is going on here because we have a home. Hallelujah. Amen. That's greater than this. And we thank God that we have hope. Thank God for hope. Thank God for being here today. Thank God for everybody in the name of Jesus. We're going to have Elder Heath. Let's see what's up.
Pray. Hallelujah.
Pray for.
Oh, Father. Hallelujah. We just thank you. Bless the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord, we thank you for this day. Father, we thank you that when we woke up, we woke up in our right mind. We knew our name. We knew who we were. Hallelujah. We had a determination to come out to the house of prayer, to meet you, Father, to study your word, God, that we may be able to rightly guide the word of truth. We thank you for this place. We thank you for our overseers, our bishops. We thank you for the abundance of being to study, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you for each and every person here, those that are listening online. Father, you know, Father, it's only by your word and your truth, God, that we will be able to face the things that come to us daily. Father, we're not complaining about how the world is because we knew, or we read your word, Father, and we know what's going to happen. But we read your word fully till the end, and we know who has the victory. Hallelujah. Those of us who stay in Christ, hallelujah, and stay on the narrow path, Father. We just thank you right now in the name of Jesus, we pray. Open our eyes, our ears, and our heart to your word, Father, that we may be able to grow in grace and be stronger in the Lord. Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Yes, yes. Welcome.
Welcome into this broken vessel. Unified to a part in the presence of your people. For we lift our hands as we lift our hearts, and we offer up praises to your name.
Welcome
into this place. Welcome into this broken vessel, you desire to abide in the presence of your people. So we lift our hands and we lift our hearts and we offer up these praises to your name.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen.
This day, amen, that He has made.
Hallelujah.
I don't know about
you, but I'm going to rejoice.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Up.
Yes. This guy, Jordan, who woke up.
Hallelujah. Make it to their destination.
Amen, God.
But
Father.
God has been
God. His grace is great.
Hallelujah. I have food on my table. I ain't eating yet, but I have. Hallelujah. Those on my back. Hallelujah. Car to drive in, amen.
Yeah,
said,
Father, thank you.
A truck to drive in.
What
Lord,
you said?
Mercy and his grace.
Wow.
Amen. God is so, so good.
Amen.
And he allowed us, amen, to get our first copies out of our book. Amen. Mm-hmm. Single sanctified.
Oh, your first copies out here.
Mm-hmm. We thank God for it. And God is so good.
Yes.
Amen. If he don't do another thing, he already done enough. Hallelujah. Somebody say, how you doing? I say, I'm good. I got up this morning.
Amen.
Because if you don't do that, ain't nothing else going to happen.
Amen.
Amen. So we thank God for his word. And Paul, again, is just wanting the people of God to grow up in the Lord. Grow up and realize who you are and what you have as a child of God, and what your mindset should be now,
yes,
as a child of God. And so he began to break it down so they can kind of understand, because, you know, in those days, if you didn't pay your bill, they didn't repossess your car or your horse. They didn't repossess your house. What they did is come and get your children.
Yeah.
And then those children became slaves.
Yeah.
And so the society understood slavery.
Yes.
And so he began to break it down that you, when you were in sin, you were a slave to sin. And now that you are born again, you are slave to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
You're still a slave. So they were familiar on what slavery was all about.
Mm-hmm.
So he's able to use this. And, you know, this is the first time as I was studying this lesson, I thought about being born again, being in on the potter's wheel.
Mm-hmm.
I never looked at it like that.
Yeah.
All we seen is, you know, we were marred and he, but when you are born again, he formed you into, there's a mold that he forms you into. And, you know, Romans 8:29 says, because he, all things work together because he wants to conform us into the image of his son. And so now we are have a new mold. The old mold we were is no longer. So we have been molded. And see, the thing about molding is a process.
Yeah.
and so as you get molded, as we get molded, now we become perfected in Christ. That's why we need the fivefold ministry to perfect the saints, right?
Yes, yes.
And so this new mold we have now, it starts from our mind.
Mm-hmm.
We have to renew our mind. This is where repentance comes from. We got to change our mind to the mind of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And so now we're in a new kingdom. We're in a new mold.
Yep.
So the mold we were, we can't be that mold.
Hallelujah.
Even though we're not perfected, we're still in a new mold.
Yeah, sure.
We're not exactly how he wants us yet, but he's conforming us.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, day by day. He's just shaping us, cutting off some stuff. We got to crucify and let go, because now we are free. We are free because now we have a choice. We can choose to lay aside every weight and the sin that's so easy to set. And we don't have to let none of this stuff reign in us anymore. So we have power to yield. And as I was thinking about this lesson, I was thinking about the word yield. And I had it on my notes that I left it on.
Yeah.
Greek word for yield. You got it? Oh, no, okay. I was on mold. I did mold.
Oh, you did mold too? Wow.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And so yielding is, you know, depending on how we look at it, it looks like giving up, but it's also producing.
Mm-hmm.
When a tree produces, it yields its fruit, right?
Mm-hmm.
When we yield ourselves to Christ, we produce a place where God can come in, meaning that we are produce a place that's suitable for the Holy Ghost to dwell in.
Hallelujah!
So, in order for us to produce, we got to yield our thoughts, our desires up to God, and so that produces a new life.
Mm-hmm.
That produces newness because we yield the old.
Hallelujah.
To bring in the new.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. And so we got to yield. And that's how we produce. But a lot of people saying, now you're producing, I mean, you're not yielding, you're not giving up. But anytime a tree produces something, it
mm-hmm.
gives it.
Mm-hmm.
It yields it. It gives it up.
Yeah.
And so when we get born again, as we live this life, daily we yield to Christ. And so we can continue to produce good fruit.
Yeah, I think, too, as you were talking about chipping away some of the old things, my mind was reflecting back on a certain play that I had written and produced. But in this new birth, that's the main title of the new birth, but this girl realizes that coming to Christ and beginning to let some of these things off, that there's a new girl inside of her. And the way this happened, when we were talking about the potter's wheel, I just could see like people that are creative enough, you know, you see if they work with wood.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they have a certain vision of what they're going to chip away and carve at.
Mm-hmm.
And I see them doing with ice sculptures, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Square block of ice. I'm like,
yeah.
How do they know they can visualize and see something
mm-hmm.
new or creative or new inside of that?
Mm-hmm.
And by the time they get through whittling and chipping and whatever, and it begins to take this new form and shape, well, that creator of that thing could see
yes.
inside of
yes.
what that old piece of thing was
yes.
and bring forth this newly formed, shaped thing. And so I think that is so creative. Me, I don't know. I can see, you know, that a stump of wood and then it's this, you know, beautiful whatever, or the ice where they make these beautiful sculptures and things.
Yeah.
I'm like, they have to be able to see something new or different inside that they are creating for it to be.
Mm-hmm. And the clay and the
yeah.
and the
yeah.
wood
mm-hmm.
has to yield
to
surrender
to the hand
of the maker,
and so
we have to yield to the hand of the creator. Every day we have to yield, so we can't do anything on our own strength. Because when you start to want to live this life on your own strength, you already failed. You already failed because we can't live this life on our own. That's why he sent us the Holy Ghost.
Being humble is very important.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I'm not humble, I can't yield to nothing.
No. You ain't going to yield.
Right.
You ain't going to yield to nothing. And then that's why it said, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
Now, it didn't say because he was the Son of God. It said because he humbled himself. Notice that what he said.
Yeah.
Let his mind be in you. But it didn't say that all this other stuff that he has the power to cast out demons. He didn't say none of that.
He
thought it not robbery to be humble, to submit himself. So he's got to be humble. You got to be humble no matter what's going on because you got to yield.
Amen.
You got to surrender. And so as a servant, as a slave, that's what you do. You surrender your will to your master. And so the thing about it that Paul goes on to say about don't give your members to use for unrighteousness, because there's treason. you are now helping your enemy against you. Ain't that crazy? When we yield our members towards Satan and his devices, we are fighting ourselves, not only the kingdom, because we are part of the kingdom. We're the church. And so if we hurt the church, we're hurting ourselves. So if you know, if you see somebody cutting themselves, you're going to think they need to be committed, right? So why are you hurting the church? Why are we hurting the church if we think somebody hurting themselves is a lunatic? So you must be a... So we got to be careful in how we treat each other, because we are the body of Christ. And so we can't yield our members unto unrighteousness. And it's more than just going out and smoking dope or drinking liquor or all this other stuff. It's about how you treat each other. Do you encourage me when I need encouragement, or you just say, oh, you ought to grow up? Oh, you know that person who's going to die, they have cancer. What you crying about? What you crying about? You know, you ought to be... People are so heartless sometimes. And they think they're doing what is right. Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead. And they use scripture. People use scripture for everything, don't they? And so we got to see how we're in a new kingdom. And our enemy is sin. Our enemy is sin. And so we have to shun the very appearance of sin. We don't want to be caught up with our next to our enemy. We don't want nobody to misunderstand where you stand. They don't want nobody to say, is she saved or No, you want people to be clear. I am born again. I'm a child of the King. Hallelujah. And I've been born again. And not by what I say. It's by what I do. A lot of times we can say a whole lot of stuff, don't mean nothing. I heard that song back in the day. Talking loud. It's like a dull knife. Just ain't cut. Talking loud and saying nothing. You can do all that talking. In the Bahamas, we said talk is cheap, money buy land. You can do all that talking, but it ain't what you say, it's what you do to people see.
Amen.
Right? And so we have to make sure that we don't give our enemy any ground. Any ground. And so we used to have a saying in the Bahamas also that don't give the enemy a stick to crack you in the head with. Don't give nobody. So don't give Satan a say, because later on he going to say, remember? Anytime you miss God, Satan will come and say, what you praying for? You remember? You know what you just did. What are you praying to? God ain't going to hear you. You know, and if you don't be careful, he'll pull on you because you think that's how God is. You don't understand grace. Amen? So now we at the verse 19. Now the heat is going to get the heat. She in the front row.
I had the new... Revised edition. No, I don't. What do I have? The New American Standard Bible. Verse 19 says, I am speaking in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, resulting in further lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, which is will result in sanctification. And so, I thought, yeah, that's pretty much plain and
Paul, he was just saying, because of human frailty, I'm speaking in examples of ordinary language that you can understand. The more you yield to sin, the more outrageous it becomes. And so you are, like you say, giving Satan the weapon to help kill you. And it's other words, you know, you can't keep yielding to sin and think things going to get better, because the devil's never satisfied, and he's going to keep it going, and it's going to be a greater, a deeper, a far, so much so, you know, that it's going, you're going to finally, you know, be in a terrible fix. But he's saying, the more you serve righteousness, the deeper your sanctification becomes.
Mm-hmm.
Makes sense.
Amen. Because the more you do, it's like how we teach it. Okay. We know that things you do, it takes muscle memory.
Mm-hmm.
So even when we learn to walk, we got used to it and we start doing it without thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
That's muscle memory. When we train a kid how to shoot, how to pass, they got to do over and over and over and over. So now they don't have to think about it. They just automatically do it. My mama said, do it like it's the back of your hand. Like, know it like it's the back of your hand. So when you do right enough, it becomes second nature. Getting up to pray, you don't have to fight to get up to pray no more. You know, it becomes automatic. Like, first thing you do when you get out of bed, you want to thank God for another day. If you don't do that consistently, it's going to be hard for you to do that if you don't get in the habit of doing it. You see what I'm saying? So if the thing is that if you mess around, let me tell you, and a lot of people are caught up in this, even right now, if you mess around and miss service one Sunday, and something happened and you had to miss it another Sunday, all of a sudden, coming to church is going to seem like it's a big deal. Folks in the pandemic, they've gotten used to staying home. I mean, we don't get used to it. And we get used to stuff, no matter what it is, because it's muscle memory. And there's no good or bad at anything. That's how we're made. You know? So people now are coming back now because they like, okay, I need to do something different, right? And so just like whatever you do, the more you do it, the more engrossed you get in it. It becomes second nature. You don't have to think about going to church. You don't have to think about opening your – something coming towards your eyes, I'm not even going to blame. Who taught you how to blame? It's an instinct, right? That happens, and so at being saved, you have instincts that moves you to do things that you know you need to do, and that instinct is the Holy Ghost, right? That gives you the unction to, hey, you don't go that way, don't say that, don't do this or whatever. So now, the more you practice something, the more you do whatever you do, it becomes a part of you. You understand what I'm saying? And so if you do righteousness, right going to be a part of you. If you start doing wrong and you do wrong again and then again, before you know it, now you have, because we are free. Before you know it, now you just dipping and dodging. And that's how people get straight away. And God loves us so much that he knew how to knock on our door. Let me talk to you. You done gone too far with this. And the Holy Ghost will let you know when you done, hey, you off today. You need to be pulled back in. And so we can't afford to let our righteousness, our deeds that we do become evident for Satan to say, I told you none of them, right? I told you I'm transferring, right? And you know, people want it. That's all they want to say. Ain't nobody right. Excuse for their sin. That's all it is. Trying to make excuse for your sin. But when this all is over, you can make excuses all you want. It ain't going to change the heat in the fire. Right? So no matter what they say about you, don't let your good be evil spoken of. Don't let your good be evil spoken of. If you are single and you got a young male coming to your house and you're a female, don't let his car be there overnight. Don't let his car be there overnight because your neighbor's looking out the window. Did he leave yet?
I mean, they're looking.
It's okay. 3:32. What time he left before? And that's what. Not only do they know, now you know everybody else don't know that. You know, and so don't let your good. And even if it's a good reason, that pastor went to this idiot house by herself to minister to him.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Why in the bed burned her body up like she a piece of meat. She went there to help him. But he know you got issues. And you know if somebody got issues, you can't be by yourself with somebody with issues. And so even though you're doing what you think is good, you can't let your good be evil spoken of. Because it ain't about you. It's about God. We represent him. And so my mom used to tell me, boy, you better when you get it. Act like you put a butter for your son. If not, the neighbor's gonna tear you up. When you get home, you're gonna get some more. So the same way, and I'm so glad that I've been taught that as a child. So when I got saved, it's easy for me to make sure that daddy don't see me be so crazy tough. Because I know I'm going to get whooped. Right? And I don't want God to whoop me. And so we got to be careful how we live this life, because we can be doing something that we think is good and be contrary to the will of God. And even though you're doing something good, if it ain't God's will, it's not good. I mean, I think a lot how this man was trying to save the ark from falling. He's doing a good thing. But it was not lawful by God. He wasn't consecrated to touch that. But his heart, he wanted to do something good. He wanted to catch it. Now, that's some deep stuff right there. He wanted to do something good. But it wasn't lawful. And he suffered the consequences. Right? And so we got to be careful how we live this life, how we treat other people, because there's consequences for everything.
You know, one thing just that echo on what you just said, the Bible says that we are to pray about all things. Sometimes we get to understand, no, I just pray about certain things because I can handle this and that. The Bible also said that we cannot serve two masters. You're going to either love one and hate the other. So right here, what I see also that Paul is saying, the way I walk my walk going to tell which master that I'm serving.
Absolutely. That's sure enough right. And the thing about life is, because of how we're made, you're going to serve somebody. You can say you ain't, but you're gonna serve something, because that's how we're made. And so if you don't serve God, you're serving mammon. That's it. You're gonna serve one of them, even if you think you're not, because service is who we are. We serve. We go after. We align ourselves with different things. And so we have to make sure that we align with God, and we are new creatures. We've got to know that we're new, and we cannot live as if we're not, because somebody is watching you. And not that they're watching you to criticize you, somebody might want to do right, and they're watching you. And all of a sudden they think that you are living right, and that's the person I want to be like. And then you mess around and do something crazy, and they're like, oh, God. You know what I'm saying? So we got to be careful. We got to be very, very careful with that. So don't let our weakness of the flesh allow us to give in and say, oh, because I'm in the flesh, you know, God's grace going to cover me. You know, like you said last week, God know my heart.
And then, I don't know, you know, I love the saying of Paul, because Paul also said, when I tried to do good, he warned us, when I tried to do good, evil was always present.
Yeah, we gonna get that in the next step.
Oh,
okay.
You can't help.
Absolutely. We got to surrender. That's why we talk about yielding. We got to surrender our will to the will of God. And the mind of Christ, Jesus said, not thy will, but thine be done. I mean, he is a great example that anything he would have done would have been God doing it. But he wasn't trying to do his thing. The book really, they say, it ain't about me. It's about my Father. He points to his Father all through the book of John. All, no matter what they say, oh, you're so great. Hey, don't call me great. Mm-mm. None good but the Father. He is Jesus, who is a perfect being. Guess what he says? Don't call me good. Ain't none good but the Father. He's still not saying anything about him. Mm-hmm. Putting it to God. Mm-hmm. And that's how we have to be. We can't think that we're something. We done made it.
Okay, I'm going to say this right here, too. We got to be careful that we don't become slaves to each other.
Oh.
Because we get in trouble with that. Because what we do, we try to elevate someone above God. It could be a friend, it could be a spouse, it could be a sister, it could be anything. We just got to make sure we don't elevate those people before God, because every time they call, we go running. When God called me and prayed, Lord, can I do it in the morning? I just don't feel good right now. But every time they call, you're running. We need to be running for God. Mm-hmm. We're supposed to be a slave for him,
absolutely,
not for no one else.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Our children could do the same thing to us. When they, anytime they say jump, we say how high, and God say come to church, we say it's raining today. I gotta sleep in. It's been a late night, and so we gotta be careful not to yield our members, and know that our thoughts, our deeds, are very vital in that. Because if you think about it, you might as well do it. So let's go to 20. This is the next. Glory to God.
When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the obligation to do right.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Verse 20.
Okay.
When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the obligation to do right. So, instead of being a slave to sin, we have to become a slave to the Lord, the Word of God, the positive Word of God, and do those things that are in the Word.
Amen.
You didn't even have to take the time to think about it.
Yeah, muscle memory.
Yeah.
So we were slaves. When you were slaves to sin, you did it without thinking. And so now that you're born again, that's what I was saying earlier, we need to be able to do things without even thinking about it. I mean, when you hear somebody say they got saved, without thinking, your hands ought to go up. Without thinking, you ought to say, thank you, Jesus, when you wake up in the morning without thinking, you ought to say, thank you, Lord, another day. When God blesses you with something, somebody come and greet you and say, God bless you. I thank God for your life. You impacted me. You ought to just thank God without thinking, without even considering, let me see whether I should praise the Lord today. Let me see. Did he wake me up? Without thinking, your hand just ought to go up. And I know sometimes I'm driving my car and the song be on. Sometimes some songs I just turn my radio off. So I'm gonna get a wreck. I'm gonna get in a wreck because when you hear about how good God is and you feel that presence of God. Whew, ain't nothing like it. Ain't nothing like it. Hallelujah. And so we ought to be able to just follow what God wants. A slave don't eat when he want to eat. So if God called for a fast, guess what? Not today, Lord. I got medication to take. But when you're a slave to it, it doesn't matter what's called for. You are here today at noonday. You can be chilling, but you're here because you want something from God. You need something from God. I need it, not just want. I need something from Him every day to add to what I know about Him. I want to know Him so good that anything that I need, anything that the devil come with, I can say, talk to the hand. Oh, no. Not today. Not today, Satan. You know, we have authority and to understand that the power that God has put in us, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, good God Almighty, live inside of us. Whew. And so death ain't have no power. What else can have power? Hallelujah. And so we got to make sure that we are servants. We are slaves, and we would live this life pleasing to God. So let's do 21 and 22. Speaking back, 21 and 22.
What benefit, Dan, did you recap at that time from the things that I'm now ashamed of? Those things result in death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have another slave of God, the benefits you reap leads to holiness and result is eternal life. And as I indicated, Paul challenged us that the fruits of those of which the believers are not ashamed, and the end of those things is death for those that does not believe.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So the things we used to do, it was death because it was an enemy. Again, we talk about the enemy, right? It's amazing that the things that's killing us, we crave for. Even people who have different diseases, that thing always amazes me. You have high blood pressure? What you going to do? You going to crave salt. You ought to crave that stuff that really going to, it's going to kill you. Your sugar diabetes, guess what you going to crave? You got to have some donuts, you got to have some cake, you got to have. It's crazy, but it's an enemy. It's an enemy, but guess what? This body, this flesh craving for it. You can't see the hot sign at what's the place now? Krispy Kreme. You can't see the hot sign here. Woo! And I know my youngest son, that boy, he'll eat He'll be a dozen of donuts, just one go. But it's the enemy. But the enemy seems like it's just satisfied. Something wrong with that pitching. And so we got to recognize that, hey, this is not good for me. You know, this is not profitable for me. So I'm just not going to do it. Even though we saved, and we know that even gluttony is a sin. You know, and God has delivered me. Hallelujah! Because I'm telling you, we used to go to Golden Corral, and if I don't have four plates, I didn't go to Golden Corral. Yeah, He delivered me.
Amen.
When I say He,
I think going up, you know, back into some of those 15 through 19, Paul was addressing these things and basically bringing out a couple of points. And he was trying to remind them. He said, first, the purpose of God's grace is to free us from the power
mm-hmm.
of sin as well as the penalty.
Mm-hmm.
So you're free from the power, penalty. I added purpose mm-hmm. there because the purpose of sin is to kill you. So, you know, those three P's. And then second, that he was telling the Christians, because of this new assignment that is on your life, that you are freed from the law as a covenant
mm-hmm.
because it only exasperated their sin. So now the covenant, the new covenant, they're united to Christ, empowered by, you know, the Holy Spirit. So I was saying, oh yeah, so we're released from that covenant of the law, but by grace, you know, the covenant of Christ, which we keep, and like he didn't come to destroy those, but there was abuse concerning the law. And in the verse that Deacon Bass read, 21, I had down here that after being set free by and through grace unto righteousness, that we shouldn't be doing anything that could come back and make us ashamed,
mm-hmm.
let alone make the God ashamed, let alone make the church ashamed.
Mm-hmm.
So it was saying something, I forget which one of these were, had that word in there about making it a shame.
Yes,
21.
What truth has been in those things that whereof you are now ashamed?
Mm-hmm.
At the end of those things is death.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the thing is that when you're in the flesh, the pleasure blinds
mm-hmm.
the reality of the consequence.
Mhm. Mhm.
The pleasure dilutes
mm-hmm.
your consequences.
Mm-hmm. That is my thing.
Quick gratification is what the flesh longs for, and so that's why we gotta die daily.
Mm-hmm.
This flesh is gonna kill you, so there's gotta be some killing going on.
Yes.
There gotta be some. There's got to be some killing going on, one way or the other.
Yes, something's got to be.
There's going to be some killing.
Mm-hmm.
Either you're going to die or the flesh going to kill you.
Mm-hmm.
One way or another, there's going to be some killing going on.
Yeah.
And so Paul said in Colossians 1 and 21 says, and ye that was sometime alienated and
mm-hmm.
enemies in your mind
mm-hmm.
by wicked works.
Jesus.
Yet now has he reconciled. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
So in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unprovable in his sight.
Mm-hmm.
All of that Christ did for us.
Hallelujah.
Because we were sinners before. We were wretched.
Mm.
And so we got to be on our guard not to allow things we do be an embarrassment to the church.
Hallelujah.
I mean, because you don't want, and people don't understand, Satan looks for stigma.
Yeah.
You know, oh, ain't none of them right.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't care what kind of crowd you got, somebody going to be doing something. Because there's good in all of us.
Yeah.
And bad in all of us.
Mm-hmm.
So no matter what, you can't just say all of them.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do that. The people that do it because we give them some ammunition
mm-hmm.
to say it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because some church folks have done some crazy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so the thing is that our assignment is that we don't.
Yeah.
So they can see us and say, okay, well, so-and-so did do something crazy, but still, right there, they
mm-hmm.
pretty solid.
Mm-hmm.
And people know who's solid or not.
Amen.
Because they're watching. Believe it or not. And people can tell a phony. You can pretend all you want. And we got some good actors. Ooh, I mean, Hollywood ain't got nothing on.
Yeah.
Got some good actors. I mean, whoo! You think that the angel came from heaven.
Jesus.
And it's nothing but the devil.
Mm.
Woo! But the Bible says they come like an angel of light. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So we should know already. So our assignment is that we, who are called, the call and the chosen,
mm-hmm.
represent the kingdom well.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're mindful of how you represent the kingdom, your life would be living in the way God wants it to.
Hallelujah.
Because you're going to be yielded to him. God, I know this person just danced on my last nerve. I want to slap them to kingdom come.
Hallelujah.
But I believe you ain't going like that. It ain't going to look good for a preacher to be on the news. He done slapped somebody out.
I know.
Right? And so you refrain and don't let self reign in your body. Don't let it reign in your members that your hand just came up and did what it wanted to do.
Like I am a reflection of my dad and mom. We supposed to be a reflection
Absolutely.
Of God
Absolutely.
In the church.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if I said that God is my father, well, why do I not carry his
mm-hmm.
character?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
How do God look? He looks the way I carry myself and represent myself around people. Do I always act good? No. But I know how to get back in line, too. And that's very important.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if I go around daily acting a fool, honey, y'all need to really be praying for me because something is not working correctly up there. we should be a reflection of God.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We and Paul in one of his writings said we are ambassadors of Christ, right? An ambassador goes to a foreign land and represents that country. And whatever their personal thing is, never gets involved. It's what the country wants as opposed to what they want. Because they represent the country, not themselves. And so we as Christians, we don't represent ourselves, we represent Christ.
Mm-hmm.
We represent the kingdom, so whatever the kingdom wants, that's what we produce. But some of us got our own agenda. Right? And so we got to make sure that we pull back and say, no, I'm representing God. God, what do you want me to do? That's why we got to pray. So we know what to do. We don't have to just go, my mama say, by the seat of your pants. We if you read Ephesians 6:10, talk about the whole armor. Put on the whole armor. But after you put on the whole armor, he said you gotta pray. You gotta seek me, because you could be all dressed up and don't know what to do.
I know that, right?
And be swinging at the wrong people.
Yeah.
Fighting the wrong. He said we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. How are you going to identify the powers if you don't get to talk to God about it? You'll be all dressed up, I mean, suited and booted, and don't know what to do. You have to have instruction.
I was in prayer yesterday. And the Lord brought to my attention the reason we get in so much a different predicament is because we do not put on the full armor.
Mm-hmm.
And then I began to think about that, and I said, Lord, you know what? I don't forgotten most of them. I'm going to have to go back and review myself. I'm going to have to go back and the scripture. Yeah, I know the helmet. I know the breastplate. Right. I'm going to have to go back and research. And I said, yes, Lord, I understand. He's correct. Because I cannot go out there just with the helmet on.
Mm-hmm.
And this right here,
that's
I have right. No gear here. He'll go say, no, I got it. She thinks that she's doing something. I may not be able to mess with that mind or that head, but I can get the results
mm-hmm.
about it.
Yep.
So, you know, that's what the Lord brought to my attention. He said, you need to put on the full armor.
Well, you got to be suited and booted. But then you got to know what to do after you got dressed. Because being dressed ain't all. And, you know, and Satan would let us be satisfied with just getting dressed. And the thing about getting dressed is, you ain't doing nothing but standing.
Mm-hmm.
You haven't done all the stand. Just stand. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. You got to. And that's why he brought, right after you get dressed, he brought prayer in. Because you got to know exactly what to do.
I thought of this. It's kind of funny. But I had sons, not daughters, but, you know, some that have. And they're going somewhere for the evening, and the girl will come down the steps with the stuff that she dressed in and thinking that she was, you know, going with the parents somewhere or something. You know, they look at her, you know, the way she was dressed. What do you have on? Where do you think you're going in that? You know, you're not going with me. You better go back up there and dress properly, you know, or something. So, you know, I was thinking about Minister Weber was just saying, you know, sometimes you're missing a few pieces, you got to let them know you need to put on something.
That's right.
With that, I think you're missing some parts of your clothing. You better go back up there.
Well, my sister, bless her heart, would not allow me to go out to play with all kind of colors on. That's why I try to. Every time I put on all the colors, paint colors, mostly every time I dress now. Because from 5 years old, I just put on the clothes on play.
Yeah, sure.
She said, where you going looking like that? Don't let it be rough. We call it rough drying, you know, wrinkles.
Oh.
We call it rough drying at home. So don't go outside. Your clothes ain't, your T-shirt and stuff ain't ironed. Oh, Lord. My mama had a fit. No. I'm talking about the play. Because you're representing your family. And so we got to be careful not to go out rough, dry. Let me say wrinkle. Let me say so y'all American because I understand what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Don't go out wrinkle up in public. I mean, you can't talk to people right. You all wrinkle up. Somebody can't say good morning to you because you wrinkle up. No. Oh yeah, he wanted his cut off shirt and everything. Hey, I want a job, y'all. What's your own job?
My partner I was working security at Richards about 8 years, and my partner was working at Perimeter College, and he knew my work ethic, and he said, I need you over there. I said, man, I ain't interested. And I was on my way home to North Carolina, and I stopped by for an interview. Shorts, T-shirt, you know, because I really didn't want, you know.
You didn't want a job.
No, not really.
You're just going to do, just going through the motions.
Yeah. Not really, man, and I got hired. I said, dang, man. Yeah, so, you know, there was another side to that. She was able to see through it. Yeah, so, you know.
Want to do it? Well, what God has for you.
Oh, yeah.
It is for you. And God knew your destiny. That's where you know, that's where you, and how many years you spent there? Amen. Okay. So that's the rest of the story.
Wow.
That was a place of destiny. So no matter how you act,
if destiny calls, you won't answer. Yeah. I used to tell folks that my ministry was helpful.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right.
My whole life has been helping.
Mm-hmm. It's needed. It's necessary. I mean, I've seen the young lady's testimony that you shared before. Man, all of us need to be in a place where we can put people up.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's why we're here. We ain't here just to live, eat, drink, and be merry. No matter what Elder Heat says. Amen. So we just got to make sure that we represent the kingdom well, no matter what we do. And you know, even the local assembly, because now we say our core beliefs is the light, love, integrity, generosity, holiness, and teamwork. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to make sure we demonstrate that. Number one, if we love, somebody got to know you love.
Mm-hmm.
You can't be acting mean to folks and cutting people off and being nasty to folks. That ain't love. So we should not exemplify that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So integrity, be honest with everything you do, even when somebody ain't looking, right? That's integrity. Be generous. Be generous to people. You never know who you're giving something to. 10 years later, that person owned everything. Tyler Perry was living in his car, right? Now, how many cars he can buy now? So you never know. So be generous, and then you got to be holy. For I am holy, the Lord says. And then it takes all us together. They work together. You can't be trying not to be, I can't work with them. And every joint supplies, right? We got all got to work together. So we got to make sure we represent the body of Christ well. So let's do 22 and 23. We can finish. 22 and 23. No, he did 21. He did? Okay, I'm sorry. Okay, well, do 23. This is a famous one here.
Okay, 23. If you serve sin as your master, it will pay you with death. But if you belong to our Lord Jesus Christ, God give you a gift. That gift is life with God forever.
Amen.
Paul made that thing. Even if you go on a job, at the end of the 2 weeks or wherever, you're getting a paycheck. But this one right here is going to be eternal.
Mm-hmm.
This is an eternal paycheck right here, the
mm-hmm.
death is.
Mm-hmm.
So he made that very clear. So, okay, nobody mess it up. I don't have nothing else to say about that.
So for the wages. And it's amazing how the parallel or the contrast is that sin is work. And so with any work, even when you deal with the works of the flesh, when you deal with sin, you deal with the works of the flesh. It's always work. And when you work, the thing you get is pay. But grace is a gift. is not work that any man should boast, but it's the gift of God, right? And so a gift is given, not earned. It's not you don't work for a gift. A gift is based on the person, on the giver, right? And so for God so loved the world, he gave the gift. That whosoever, that's a blank check, whosoever will, whosoever believes, shall have eternal life. If you don't, now the thing is you're going to have eternal life. but the one you want to have is, And I was thinking or praying or talking to somebody earlier today, I want to see Jesus in peace. We all want to see him, but I want mine to be in peace. Where he said, well done, come up. So we want to make sure that our lives represent the kingdom, because the wages of sin. Think about it. You working for sin. Goodness gracious. It's a job. And the job is killing you.
Yeah.
Every day is killing you. And so but the gift of God is eternal life. You live forever with the Lord. Because the death ain't the physical death he's talking about.
No.
Death is being separated from God. When Jesus faced death on the cross, that was the separation from God. That's why he said, why have you, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because God and sin cannot mix like all in one.
Okay, I like that word, if. Because Paul is leaving that up to you and me. I know what I belong to,
mm-hmm.
and you know.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he just said if you attend a congregation, a church building, if you come to church every Sunday,
mm-hmm.
he said if you belong to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
There is something very important that we all need to think about. Because people think just because I walk into a church building, I'm going to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Not so.
No. No, because if just coming to church makes you a Christian, then you can go sit in your garage and then you become a car. Yeah. I mean, so you know sitting in the garage ain't gonna make you no car, right? So coming to church ain't gonna make you a Christian. So we thank God for this word. So come on and clap your hands. We finished with chapter. For the wages of sin is death. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We thank God. Amen. That we're going to start chapter 7, which Paul is going to illustrate the freedom we have as being, as opposed to a slave, now he's going to talk about a bride, a marriage, a covenant, as opposed to just talking about slavery and being free that way. So get ready and let's look at this. And so let's get into this and talk about marriage. Hallelujah. And you have some good stuff in chapter 7. Hallelujah. For those of you who have your offering to give, I have my envelope. I'm trying to get some envelope. Everybody got envelope? No. Hallelujah. Go ahead. Yes, in summer camp. Woo. Yes. You probably wish you'd be over here too. Oh yeah. Thank you. This is the grace of God. These kids ain't like they used to be now. Man, let me tell you. Them adults look at you, you can't pay attention. These kids, you can look at them if you want to, because they tell you, you can't touch me. Put your hands on me. Put your hands on me. Oh, it must be, boy. Not when I, well, where I grew up. Because 20 years ago, yeah. My kids are already grown by that, about 20 years ago. Yeah. Whew. Okay, we ask you all online to give and send your amount you're giving to 770-906-0607. And we thank God if you give, it shall be given unto you. Good measures, pressed down, shaken together, running over shall men give into your bosom. In Jesus' name, we bless this offering. We ask God to multiply it. Oh, God, we ask you, oh, God, to give to those who have given, oh, God. Give those who don't have it to give, oh, God. Give them to get to give again, God, in Jesus' name. Bless the service tonight, God. Oh, God, let your word go forth with power and the anointing that lives will be changed for the better. Oh, God, dismiss us from this place, but never from your presence. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody say, amen. You are released.